40 years ago today, the people of Czechoslovakia awoke to find their country occupied by 500,000 troops. They were under the command of the Warsaw Pact, the Soviet answer to NATO. The invasion put an end to what was known as the Prague Spring, a brief season of political and cultural freedom. Moscow feared Czechoslovakia's Communist Party's embrace of democratic reforms would infect the rest of the Soviet sphere. As part of our occasional series, Echoes of 1968, NPR's Sylvia Pajoli reports from Prague.
At 2 a.m., as Russian soldiers surrounded the state radio building, an announcement was broadcast. This act is contrary to the principles of international law. We appeal to all citizens to remain calm and to offer no resistance.
It was a big shooting, and it was dramatic, you see, when they came to the studio and stopped our broadcasting.
Reporter Izzy Dinspear's voice was well known to the radio audience.
We succeeded in informing the population and the world, not only that there is an invasion, it was clear, but that it was refused and condemned.
Before dawn, tens of thousands of people were in the streets, surrounding tanks and arguing with the soldiers. How could you do this to us? This woman wanted to know. Is this what friends do? Ivana Dolezhalova was 18, the same age as many of the soldiers occupying her country.
I realized that they have no idea where they are, why they are here. I mean, they were told, of course, they have to crush counter-revolution, but they were at such a loss.
Party secretary Alexander Dubček was arrested and flown to Moscow. But within a day, the remaining leaders held a party congress at a factory guarded by workers' militias. Zdenek Bozil, a student leader in 1968, was in Wenceslaus Square when an official car drove by.
There are the delegates of party congress and the whole Wenceslaus Square applauding them. It was the first time in history and so somebody applauded to the communists, yes.
The applause for Czechoslovak communists was so great that the Soviets were unable to prop up a puppet government, despite the presence of one occupying soldier for every 20 inhabitants. In the country of the anti-authoritarian good soldier Zweig, people resorted to artful sabotage. Street and directional signs disappeared or were misplaced. Russian convoys headed for Prague ended up on the Hungarian border. Walls were covered with anti-occupation poems and cartoons. Information flowed through an improvised network of amateur radio buffs. Izzy Pehe, director of the New York University program in Prague, says the Soviets underestimated how deeply the Prague Spring democratization process had transformed society.
It was much more than that. It was really a huge outburst of creativity in culture, in arts. Civil society was being revived at a very fast pace. So it was a one-party state, but with many different centers of independence.
In the 1950s, Stalinism was imposed on the Czechoslovak Communist Party through brutal show trials and the execution of 11 party leaders. A few party apparatchiks held all decision-making power. Most party-appointed company managers had little more than elementary school education. For this highly industrialized country, the only democracy in Eastern Europe during the two world wars, Stalinist central planning was an alien and brutal imposition. The turning point was the Czechoslovak Writers' Congress in June 1967.
From this tribune, you could hear a really strong criticism of everything. Censorship and the party bureaucracy.
Ivan Klima is one of the best-known Czech novelists. The most devastating critique came from his colleague Ludvík Vaculík.
He criticizing the whole regime as a lie and as collection of mistakes and so on and so on. His most famous sentence is that this regime didn't solve even one human problem, and that he should be grateful if we are patient still.
The speech was immediately circulated as a samizdat in thousands of copies. As many times before in Czechoslovak history, says Izzy Pehe, intellectuals were the vanguard of political reforms.
Society got infected, so to speak, with this virus of freedom, and people realize, okay, now it's our turn.
Within months, a bevy of associations sprouted. Many harked back to the civil society network of the interwar period of democracy. Sports and women's groups, Boy Scouts, river fishermen, and choruses. Others were new, trade unions, student associations, and human rights groups. Borders were opened and people traveled abroad. And Marta Kubishova, the country's most popular singer, could finally record long-banned Western hits. Sociologist Jan Hartl came from an anti-communist family, but he too embraced the Prague Spring of the communist reformers.
I was provoked by the situation of openness, free discussion. It helped to orient my life. It had a clear civilizing, open-minded effect. To me, we all were formed by 1968.
The year was ushered in by the election of the 47-year-old Slovak Alexander Dubček. Timid and awkward, he had studied at party schools in Russia. Under Dubček, the party's action program abolished censorship, allowed a free press and freedom of association, and it promoted degrees of market economy. Dubček would often say his main goal was to help the Soviets reform communism. Czestimir Cizar, one of the last living members of Dubček's governing circle, recalls a man who emitted optimism.
For him, all this political debate was not only acceptable, but necessary. His pleasant, smiling face became the beacon of a new and better society. That's why it was called socialism with a human face.
When the attempt to blend communism and democracy was brutally crushed, Cizar says Dubček cried, "How could they do this to me?" The invasion was a military success, yet widespread resistance made it a political failure, and Moscow had to reinstate Dubček. But the country's sovereignty was restricted, and less than a year later, Dubček was ousted. The military intervention was widely denounced by European communist parties. Novelist Ivan Klima.
This invasion destroyed the international communist movement, which was, I must say, the main merit of this Black Spring.
Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.
There's some pretty dramatic black and white footage of Soviet tanks rolling into Prague, plus photos of Czech demonstrators throwing burning torches as they try to stop those tanks at npr.org.